Here comes the kind of story I like because it's judgment calls. If everything's black and white, there's not a whole lot to talk about. If you got a bad guy who's shooting old women, raping young girls, yeah, nothing to talk about. Put him in jail. But here's a headline, USA Today, Tuesday, page 3A if you're keeping score at home. Courts asked to consider culture. An act defined as crime in the United States may be common in other places. Should justice system take that into account? And the answer is, it depends. If in my country we get to burn the wife if we have our eye on another girl, well, no, this is America, you can't do that. But there's a bunch of examples here. Let me see if I can give you some of them. Santiera priest, Ernesto we'll call him, thought it was a good thing when fellow members of the Church of the Leukemi Bakulu I began to leave the bodies of sacrificed chickens near the trees and bushes in his Hialeah, Florida estate, whatever, the congregation's hometown during the 80s. The city council, Northwest Miami, rejected the church's contention that the ritual scatterings were part of the Santeria religion and the Afro-Cuban culture on which it is based. Well, okay, at first thought, a bunch of sacrificed chickens laying around on the trees, yeah, that's a bad thing. I think first glance, as we outlaw that, we say, no, you can't do that. But if there is a large Afro-Cuban community, maybe you can make some kind of law. Maybe there's some kind of way, maybe in one county that's heavily Afro-Cuban, they could have some kind of receptacle there that's airtight, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, you can't be slaughtering chickens and then laying them around on your property because that's your religion. That's bad. But if there was a big outcry from the community, we got to do something for these people. Maybe something could be worked out with some airtight container, something, something. But that's the kind of example of not everything is a yes, no. If we had to vote, we'd vote no on the chickens. But, you know, an accommodation could be made. But luckily, they gave us a bunch more examples here. Recent cases. In Fresno, 1995, Ty, I'm just going to use first names. Why the hell would I want to try to read these names? A Hmong shaman, originally from Laos, ordered a German shepherd puppy beaten to death on his front porch where he chanted over the body. Mawa later explained that he wanted the puppy's soul to hunt down the evil spirit that was tormenting his wife. He pleaded guilty to animal cruelty, sentenced to probation community service. Well, number one, religion is always the problem. He stomped on this little puppy to stop the evil spirits. The reason he believes in that insanity is because that's the religion his parents taught him. Just like the religion that your parents taught you, it's insanity. Oh, God, it's just so nutty to kill a puppy so the spirit gets off your wife's back. Why is it so easy for me and you to see that his religion's crazy, but then you, and you know I'm not picking on you because you are the person listening, you think your religion is the one that makes sense, but it is crazy. It's all crazy. But anyway, this guy, he got a year probation for stomping that puppy. Bad idea. Whatever this Hmong shaman business is, yeah, we don't need any puppy stomping. This is America. If you can't make it through the day without stomping a puppy, you need to get your ass back on a boat to Laos. I'm not trying to be a redneck, one of those love it or leave it kind of deals, but hey, in our country, you don't get to do that. So knock that crap off. In San Mateo, California in 2000, here we go with the names, Piatu was arrested for driving under the influence of kava tea, a mild euphoric, popular in his native Tonga. A hung jury led to a mistrial. Well, how about we let some science and medicine get in here? When they say it's a mild, what do they call it? A mild euphoric. What is a mild euphoric? Is that two beers? You know, mild. How do you define mild? This monkey rider, why didn't he do his work? Why didn't he find out what mild euphoric means? I can't figure out. I don't have time. I don't have a staff. I don't know what a mild euphoric means. But he ought to be able to make a phone call to some doctor and ask about this stuff. And again, if it's two beers, fine. If it's six beers, no. See, there's a difference between two and six beers. That's why in America, they don't just charge you with alcohol. They charge you with this percent of alcohol because it's understood. Legally, you can pilot a plane if your alcohol content is less than 0.4. I mean, it's 0.04, you know what I mean. So that means you can drink probably two, three beers and legally fly a plane. So if that's the case, and I'm very sure that it is, why is this guy pulled over and arrested for this mild euphoric? Now see, All we need here is a little common sense. And you can't do it because there's so many people. This is not entirely a religion thing, but so many people, they're so worried about the invisible cloud being, you know, marijuana is bad, but drinking straight whiskey is good because, well, as Chris Rock said, I think it's in this, no, it was in last issue. The reason cocaine and pot are illegal is because they're made in other countries. We want you hooked on the drugs that are made in this country. If you're drinking $100 worth of Jack Daniels a week, that money's, it's paying taxes, it's going to Lynchburg, Tennessee, it's putting people to work, et cetera, but if you're buying Colombian marijuana or cocaine, that money's going out of the country and it's going to brown people, it's going to black people. Chris Rock's rant was that we can't allow those people to have wealth. No, that's a crime. We got to keep the money here so whitey can be wealthy. Sometimes his rants are funny, sometimes they are meant to mean something, but he does have a point. I pity the fool that would try to argue with me that pot is worse for you than cigarettes. Pot does not kill, cigarettes do, case closed. So there is a point to be made there. If you're selling cancer in the form of cigarettes, that's okay. If you're selling a mild euphoric in the form of pot, now you're going to prison. That's ridiculous. It's all tied into religion and religious insanity. And the clay feet, or whatever you call that, the quicksand feet of our pussy-ass politicians makes me sick. Here we got another one. The chewers of kahat, K-H-A-T, a leaf grown in East Africa and Yemen that produces a caffeine-like stimulant buzz. Well, it's like a cup of coffee. Assuming we can trust this writer, which we can't trust any damn thing we see in the USA Today or any newspaper. But they say it's a coffee-like buzz, and they arrested the guy. As a matter of fact, this kahat, this coffee-like buzz, it's ranked, says, but the U.S. government classifies it as a controlled substance in the same category as LSD and ecstasy, which I'm pretty sure is the same category as heroin, cocaine, and marijuana. Marijuana and LSD and heroin are all the same in the government's eyes, and that is horseshit. It is just not the same. Being struck with a big pen and being struck with an iron bar are two different things. And just the same way, smoking a joint and mainlining some heroin, that's just way two different things. But the law has to pretend because between the cloud being and the bullshit religion lobby and the every other illogical, superstitious reason you can think of, that's what is preventing drug law from having some logic behind it, and that's just so ridiculous. This is the country we live in. Oh, what the hell is wrong with us? Here we got another one. Sanford, North Carolina, 2003. City officials banned the slaughter of goats and other farm animals. Now check this out. Mexican agriculture workers who had settled in the town began killing goats for barbecue backyards and nailing their heads to nearby trees. All right. Number one, the whole head in the tree thing, that's out. I don't care. We're just not going to do it. Nagada. Not going to happen. If you can't make it through a day without nailing a goat's head to the tree, then get the hell back to Mexico and work for 4% of what you can make in America. But if you think you can somehow just make it by barbecuing the goat and leaving, you know, put the having the head disposed of, see, all this can be done with common sense. If there's enough Mexican people in that town that there is a market for goat meat, fine. Have one of the Mexicans open a butcher shop, and everybody in that area knows that you go to this one butcher shop that's supervised by the health department, and if you want a goat slaughtered, you go there and you can get your fresh goat. You don't get to buy the head to tack on a tree, you monkey. What the hell's wrong with you? Tacking a head of a goat on a tree. Maybe that's how it's done in Mexico, but that's not how we do it here, so knock it off. You can have your goat. I think I told you the story, probably in print. When I was a little kid, probably. I'm a picky eater. I don't like to try new things. I just don't. Just get away from me with your new thing. Anyway, so we're in Mexico. We went to we had friends in Laredo, so we crossed over to Nuevo Laredo, which my good Spanish tells me is New Laredo. So we get across the river 2-3 miles, and we go to the Cadillac Bar in Nuevo Laredo. Swear to God, I'm 6-7 years old. And they seated us outside, and oh, it was all festive and everything. Everybody speaking that funny language when you're 6 or 7, you know, what do you think? Anyway, I look over, and there's a goat. They had run a bar through the goat's rectum, and it came out his neck. And there's a goat with his hooves and his face and everything. And there's a guy standing there turning the goat over the open fire. If it don't come from Safeway, I'm not eating it. So here comes the waiter. The waiter asks what I want. He goes, you want some goat? I don't know how he asked it, but he's, you know, do you want some goat? I said, no, we don't want any goat, thank you. And he said, well, what would you like? I said, well, I'd like a hamburger and maybe a chocolate sundae. I mean, he asked a 7-year-old, what kind of food would you like? And he's looking at a goat turning. Hey, yeah, give me some goat. Can I have some eyeball, please? Thank you. So I said, no, I would like a hamburger and a chocolate sundae. And to be nice, I don't know if it was to be nice to our host, if they do this for everybody, but they sent somebody across the border to Laredo to buy me a hamburger and a chocolate sundae, and they brought it back, and they gave me a cold hamburger and a bowl of ice cream soup, because that's how long it took to get across the border and back. Getting off the point. You can't make a logical argument for you can't eat goat or horse, for that matter. I ain't eating no horse, but, you know, if we can kill pigs and sheep and cows and chickens, how are we going to draw the line at goats? I don't think we can logically do that. So, that's what we do. See, this is a good example. You just use a little common sense to solve a problem. You don't outlaw goat eating. You have the, if there's only one or two guys in the city, hey, sorry, dude, no goat for you. But if there's a Mexican population there, they want some goat, fine. Get a Mexican guy to open up a barbershop. Have a Mexican guy open up a butcher shop. He supplies the people. Health department okays it. Everybody's happy except for the dude that wants to nail the goat's head to the tree. But see, you ask old Bart. Besides that Middle East, well, I've solved that too, but I can solve most things. You just ask old Bart. A lot of times people get way too deep into something when a little common sense off the top of your head will solve it for you. All right, here's another one. Lawrenceville, Georgia. This year, Ethiopian immigrant Adem was charged with child cruelty after his 4-year-old daughter was found to have undergone female circumcision. This guy, all right, now here's, we explained to people, he is from Ethiopia. Okay, so when he comes through customs, here's what we do. We pull that guy to the side and we say, dude, if you try to pull any of that circumcision shit here in America, you will do hard time. I'd think maybe 15 years would be a good thing to do. You just don't do that to a woman. That is stupid. Hey, dude, tell you what, you did it to her, we'll do it to you. It's a break-even deal. Of course, that doesn't help her any. She's lost out on a life full of orgasms. But this asshole, he's trying to, you know, in his own stupid-ass, superstitious, God-fearing, invisible cloud-being way, I doubt he did it to be cruel. I think he did it to follow the idiotic customs that his idiotic parents passed down to him. Why doesn't anybody think? You must not act the way you were brought up. Joe Strummer, 1980. Don't do that. Just because they did it then doesn't mean you have to do it now, you idiot. Use a little common sense. Use a little logic. So, yeah, this guy, he's got to go. Anybody that does a unwanted, well, when you're 4 years old, everything's unwanted. But, yeah, that guy, he ought to go right to effing jail. But if all he was doing was what he knows and nobody told him not to, I can see a little wiggle room for him there. But that's why they should be told up front. Nip the problem in the bud when they land here. Don't wait until he lands here and then does this and then say, dude, you messed up. No, what's wrong with people? You're from Ethiopia. We don't do the circumcision thing here. Got it here. Sign this paper that you understand that if you do anything like that, you're doing lots and lots of hard time. And if you're from some other country where they do something else that's weird, make a list. They should just have a list. This guy's from Laos. That means he's going to be doing X and Y. No, dude, you can't do that here. You can do X, but you can't do Y. If we catch you doing Y, you're doing lots of hard time. So easy to fix. They just don't want to fix it. In 1983, the parents of Singh, a Sikh, won $400,000 in court from Ayr, Illinois, after Sikh was killed in a plane crash. An Illinois court ruled that the family was entitled to a larger-than-usual amount because Sikh custom would have required Singh to care for them in their old age. No, we don't play that game. Listen, when our women go to Saudi Arabia, they got to put on the funny hats. But when the Saudi Arabian women come to America, they keep their hats on. Now, see, someone decide. Either when in Rome, do as the Romans do, or you get to keep your little deal wherever you are. But that means when the Saudi women come to America, they put on the skirts and they take that veil off and the whole riff. Or our women over there get to wear the skirts. So you can't have it both ways. And this is stupid that because back where he's from, the guy takes care of everybody. I'm sorry, that doesn't work here. That's back where you came from. The place you left to come here. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. There's no way these people should have got a larger amount than regular. $400,000, imagine, gets you a whole lot of care back in India. I would love to read the attorney's closing summation there about why they should give this guy more money because they thought they were entitled to it. Well, gee, has there ever been a defendant in American jurisprudence history that didn't think they were entitled to more money than the law said? Cultural claims have worked on occasion. In 1999, Mukesh Rai A Carpinteria, California pharmacist who is a vegetarian, accepted an undisclosed sum from Taco Bell after he mistakenly was served a beef burrito. He got $144,000 and he was offended on cultural and religious grounds. No. No, no, no. It does not work that way. If you go into Taco Bell and say, I want a veggie burger, and they give you a wrong burger, I think it's up to the fella, it's up to the orderee, to determine whether or not he got the right order. If they intentionally tried to slip one on him as a prank, I remember on Seinfeld they did that once. Someone was a vegetarian, and they made up some kind of dip, and it had meat in it, and they waited till this girl ate four or five bites, and they said, how's it taste? She said, oh, it's great. And they said, well, it's got, you know, sausage or something. And she goes, oh, no, I'm trying to spit it out. Well, see, now that's wrong. You can't do that. The guy orders a veggie burger, you give him a veggie burger. If you try to play a trick, now Taco Bell's liable. But if they make a mistake, you know, order number three wants a veggie, order number four wants a double meat, and you confuse the two, how are you going to sock Taco Bell for $144,000 because this guy doesn't like to eat meat? He's at a meat restaurant. If vegetarians are so offended, if they accidentally get a little bit of beef or some meat in them, some rich vegetarian needs to get together with some others and open up a vegetarian restaurant where you can't possibly be given any meat. And you know, who even can decide what meat is? I went to a guy, me and a fellow from India went to eat one time at this piece of crap Mexican restaurant here in town, and he ordered the beans, the refried beans, and they said, oh, the refried beans has lard in it. He said, oh, I don't want any then. Now, who knew that there was meat products in refried beans? I did not know that. But he knew it because he wanted to be sure he didn't get any meat. But you don't get $145,000 if the boneheaded Taco Bell made a mistake. Let's see, all this can be fixed very, very easy. Here we got one more. We're about to run out here. In a case now before the U.S. Appeals Court, Albuquerque-based adherents of, oh, Lord, a Brazilian religion are claiming that restricting their access to the UNESCO route violates a 1993 law that protects exotic religious practices. The tea brewed from the root produces a dreamlike state that is essential to their religion. Well, hey, Mark Perkel's religion of reality, I believe we could make marijuana a sacrament. So if the Constitution is going to stand for anything, unless the government can prove harm from smoking one of God's flowers, we should be... See, that's the crux here. That's the problem that the government has. If they say, here's how we're going to do it, then they're going to say, so I can have my pot? What about the American Indian? He wants his peyote or his mushrooms or whatever they have out there. His, you know, those little buttons. Peyote buttons. Is that how it works? In their religion, they eat the peyote button, think they get sick, and then they hallucinate for hours. You know, they go into, Mulder did one of those on the X-Files. They go into the tent and they sweat and they meet the gods and all that. Either religion means something or it doesn't. But all the old white politician Christians, the Protestant psychopath, their religion's the only one that counts and all the others are bad. They decided that, oh, it's okay to drink Christ's blood and eat Christ's body, but if you want to eat a button that they found in the desert, that's crazy. Now see, more religious insanity everywhere we look. I think this is the last one, yeah. Aren't you glad? In Brooklyn, New York, 1989, Chinese-born Chin received probation for beating his wife to death with a claw hammer. Oh, now, come on. Probation for beating his wife to death with a claw hammer. Oh, no. After she confessed to adultery, Chin's attorney, Stewart, or it don't matter, argued that the shame Chin felt was the result of his Chinese upbringing. It doesn't matter. See, I didn't know the story was coming, but you go back to that previous story. When a guy gets off the boat from China, you explain to him, hey, dude, in America, you don't get to beat your wife to death with a claw hammer if she confesses to adultery. You understand? Sign here saying you understand that. So if you beat your wife to death with a claw hammer if she commits adultery, then we're going to put you in jail for effing ever. It's so easy to fix this up front, but they just don't want to do it. I don't care about budgets. I don't care about time. I don't care about long lines at the airport. Let's make a long line at the Chinese entry at the airport. And the same for Laos and Niger and all these funny African countries and everywhere. England and France shouldn't have any special dispensation, any shorter lines, unless their values are like ours and they don't beat their wives for adultery. Oh, this is such a nutty country. They could fix this so easy, but they don't want to fix it. And doesn't it make you wonder why? I think I hit on the answer a few minutes ago. Because if they solve the problem, if they say, okay, here's where we draw the line. Then to their horror, they're going to discover that they've made marijuana illegal, and oh, we can't have that. No matter how many women are beat to death with a claw hammer, no matter how many little puppies are stomped to death, no matter how many times somebody goes crazy and does something stupid, because that's how they did it in the old country, they're going to allow all those murders to happen in order to prevent pot from being legal. Now, is that not, and on top of that, pretty much everybody in this country, you could probably go to any pool hall or whatever in this country and probably come home with some pot inside a couple hours. In Oklahoma, you come home with a really, really, really bad pot that's not even worth getting out of the house for. But I'm just saying the pot is available, and the idea that we're going to let people die, and we're going to let all this heartache and this little circumcised girl, this little 4-year-old, we're going to go through all that just to prevent marijuana from being legal. Tell me we don't live in a goofy-ass country. What we got to say, yeah.
Now you do.